When the world was destroyed by water. This chapter is based on Genesis 6 and 7. In the days of Noah, a double curse was resting upon the earth as a result of Adam's sin and the murder committed by Cain. Yet the earth was still beautiful. The hills were crowned with majestic trees. The plains were sweet with the fragrance of a thousand flowers. The fruits of the earth were almost without limit. The trees far surpassed in size and perfect proportion any that now exist. Their wood was of fine grain and hard substance, resembling stone and hardly less enduring. Gold, silver, and precious stones existed in abundance. The human race still retained much of its early energy and strength. There were many giants known for their wisdom, skillful in devising the most ingenious and wonderful works, but letting iniquity run loose. God bestowed rich gifts on these pre-flood people, but they used his bounties to glorify themselves and turned them into a curse by setting their affections on the gifts instead of the giver. They tried to outdo one another in beautifying their dwellings with skillful workmanship. They reveled in scenes of pleasure and wickedness. Not wanting to keep God in their knowledge, they soon came to deny that he exists. They glorified human genius, worshiped the works of their own hands, and taught their children to bow down to idols. The psalmist describes the effect produced on the worshiper by loving and respecting idols. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Psalm 115, verse 8. It is a law of the human mind that by beholding, we become changed. If the mind is never raised above the level of humanity, if it is not uplifted to contemplate infinite wisdom and love, mankind will be constantly sinking lower and lower. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. His law was transgressed, and every imaginable sin was the result. Justice was trampled in the dust, and the cries of the oppressed reached to heaven. Human life regarded with indifference. Polygamy had been introduced early, though it was contrary to God's plan. The Lord gave one wife to Adam, but after the fall, people chose to follow their own sinful desires. As a result, crime and misery increased rapidly. Neither marriage nor the rights of property were respected. People reveled in violence. They delighted in destroying animals, and the use of flesh for food made them still more cruel and bloodthirsty, until they came to regard human life with indifference. The world was in its infancy, yet evil had become so deep and widespread that God said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth." He declared that his spirit would not always strive with the guilty race. If they did not cease their sins, he would blot them from his creation. He would sweep away the beasts and the vegetation that furnished such an abundant supply of food, and would transform the fair earth into one vast scene of ruin. A ship to preserve life. 120 years before the flood, the Lord told Noah his plan and directed him to build an ark. He was to preach that God would bring a flood of water on the earth. Those who would believe the message and would prepare by repentance and reforming their lives would find pardon and be saved. Methuselah and his sons, who lived to hear the preaching of Noah, assisted in building the ark. God gave Noah the exact dimensions of the ark and instructed him how to build it. Human wisdom could not have designed a structure so strong and durable. God was the architect and Noah the master builder. It was three stories high, with only one door in the side. Light was admitted at the top, and the different apartments were so arranged that all were lighted. The material was cypress or gopher wood, which would be untouched by decay for hundreds of years. Building this huge structure was a slow process. Because of the size of the trees and the nature of the wood, much more work was required then than now to prepare timber. Everything humanly possible was done to make the work perfect, yet the ark on its own could not have withstood the storm. God alone could preserve his servants on the raging waters. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Hebrews 11, verse 7. While Noah gave his warning message, his faith was perfected and made evident, an example of believing just what God says. All that he possessed, he invested in the ark. As he began to construct that immense boat, crowds came from every direction to see the strange sight and to hear the earnest words of the preacher.
At first, many appeared to receive the warning, yet they did not turn to God with true repentance. Overcome by the widespread unbelief, they finally joined their former associates in rejecting the solemn message. Some were convicted and would have heeded the warning, but so many people were ridiculing Noah that they entered into the same spirit, resisted the invitations of mercy, and were soon among the boldest scoffers. None go to such lengths in sin as do those who have once had light but have resisted the convicting Spirit of God. Not all the people of that generation were idolaters. Many claimed to be worshippers of God. They said that their idols were representations of the deity, and that through them the people could obtain a clearer concept of the divine being. Such people were leaders in rejecting the preaching of Noah, and they finally declared that the divine law was no longer in force, and that it was contrary to the character of God to punish disobedience. Their minds had become so blinded by rejecting the light that they really believed Noah's message to be a delusion. The world was set against God's justice and his laws, and Noah was regarded as a fanatic. Great men, worldly, honored, and wise, said, "The threatenings of God are for the purpose of intimidating and will never come true. The destruction of the world by the God who made it and the punishment of the beings he has created will never take place. Do not be afraid. Noah is a wild fanatic." They continued their disobedience and wickedness as though God had not spoken through his servant. But Noah stood like a rock in a storm. Connection with God made him strong in the strength of infinite power. For 120 years, his solemn voice fell on the ears of that generation, warning of events which, as far as human wisdom could judge, were impossible. Up to that time, rain had never fallen. The earth had been watered by a mist or dew. The rivers had never yet passed their boundaries, but had carried their waters safely to the sea because God's fixed commands had kept the waters from overflowing their banks. Job 38, verse 11. But time passed on. People whose hearts at times had trembled with fear began to be reassured. They reasoned that nature is above the God of nature. If the message of Noah were correct, nature would be turned out of her course. They showed their contempt for the warning of God by doing the same as they had done before the warning was given. They continued their festivities and gluttonous feasts. They ate and drank, planted and built, laying plans for the future. They claimed that if there were any truth in what Noah had said, the famous people who were respected, the wise, the prudent, and the great people, would understand the matter. The time of their probation was about to end. The ark was finished exactly as the Lord had directed and was stored with food for humans and animals. And now, the servant of God made his last solemn appeal to the people. Noah pleaded with them to seek a refuge while there was still time, but they again rejected his words and ridiculed Noah with loud voices. Suddenly, beasts of every description were seen coming from mountain and forest, quietly making their way toward the ark. Birds were flocking from all directions and in perfect order flew into the ark. Animals went into the ark to Noah, two by two, and the clean beasts by sevens. Philosophers were called upon to account for this unique event, but they could not explain it. The doomed race banished their rising fears by feasting and partying, and seemed to invite upon themselves the awakened wrath of God. God commanded Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." His influence and example resulted in blessings to his family, and God saved all the members of his family with him. An angel shuts the door. The animals of the field and the birds of the air had entered the place of refuge. Noah and his household were within the ark, and the Lord shut him in. The massive door, impossible for those inside to close, was slowly swung into place by unseen hands. Noah was shut in, and the rejecters of God's mercy were shut out. So the door of mercy will be shut when Christ shall cease his ministry for guilty sinners before he comes in the clouds of heaven. Then divine grace will no longer restrain the wicked, and Satan will have full control of those who have rejected mercy. They will try to destroy God's people, but as Noah was shut into the ark, so the righteous will be shielded by divine power. For 7 days after Noah and his family entered the ark, there was no sign of the coming storm. During this period, their faith was tested. It was a time of triumph to the world outside, and they continued making a joke of the exhibits of God's power. They gathered in crowds around the ark, making fun of those locked inside with a reckless boldness that they had never dared to show before. But on the 8th day, dark clouds covered the sky. The muttering of thunder and the flash of lightning followed. Soon, large drops of rain began to fall. The world had never seen anything like this, and fear struck every heart. Everyone was secretly asking, "Can it be that Noah was right, and that the world is doomed?" The animals were roaming about in the wildest terror. Then the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. The clouds poured out rain like mighty waterfalls. Rivers broke away from their boundaries and overflowed the valleys. Jets of water burst from the earth with indescribable force. The people first saw their splendid buildings and beautiful gardens and groves in which they had placed their idols destroyed by lightning from heaven. Altars on which human sacrifices had been offered were torn down, and the worshippers were made to tremble at the power of the living God. As the violence of the storm increased, the terror of humans and animals was beyond description. Above the roar of the tempest was heard the wailing of men and women who had despised the authority of God. Satan himself, compelled to remain among the warring elements, feared for his own life. He now uttered curses against God. Many of the people, like Satan, blasphemed God. Others were frantic with fear, stretching their hands toward the ark, pleading to be let in. Conscience was at last aroused to know that there is a God who rules in the heavens. They called upon him earnestly, but his ear was not open to their cry. In that terrible hour, they saw that transgression of God's law had caused their ruin. Yet they felt no true humility and sorrow, no horror of evil. They would have returned to their defiance of heaven if the judgment had been removed. Some clung to the ark until they were carried away by the surging waters, or their hold was broken by crashing into rocks and trees. The massive ark trembled in every fiber as it was beaten by the merciless winds. The cries of animals within expressed their fear and pain, but the ark continued to ride safely. angels were sent to preserve it. Some of the people tied their children and themselves on powerful animals, knowing that these would climb to the highest points to escape the rising waters. Some fastened themselves to lofty trees on the hills or mountains, but the trees were uprooted and hurled into the waves. As the waters rose higher, the people fled for refuge to the tallest mountains. Often, people and animals struggled together for a foothold until both were swept away. From the highest peaks, the desperate people looked across a shoreless ocean. The solemn warnings of God's servant no longer seemed a subject for ridicule. Those doomed sinners pleaded for 1 hour's probation, one more call from the lips of Noah. But love, no less than justice, demanded that God's judgments should put a restraint on sin. The despisers of God perished in the black depths. Conditions before the flood. The sins that called for vengeance upon the pre-flood world exist today. The fear of God is banished from human hearts. His law is treated with indifference and contempt. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24, verse 38-39. God did not condemn the pre-flood generation for eating and drinking. He had given the fruits of the earth to meet their physical wants. Their sin was in taking these gifts without gratitude to the giver, indulging appetite without restraint. It was lawful to marry. He gave special directions concerning this relationship, clothing it with holiness and beauty, but marriage was perverted and made to serve passion. Similar conditions today.
A similar condition exists today. Appetite is indulged without restraint. Professed followers of Christ are eating and drinking with the drunken. Intemperance numbs the moral and spiritual powers and prepares for indulgence of the lower passions. Multitudes become slaves of lust, living for the sensual pleasures. Extravagance saturates society. People sacrifice integrity for luxury and display. Fraud, bribery, and theft go unrebuked. The media report many crimes so cold-blooded that it seems as though every instinct of humanity were blotted out. And these atrocities have become so common that they hardly produce surprise. The pent-up fires of lawlessness, having once escaped control, will fill the earth with woe and desolation. The pre-flood world represents the condition to which modern society is rushing. God sent Noah to warn the world so that the people could be led to repentance and escape the threatened destruction. As the time of Christ's second coming draws near, the Lord sends his servants with a warning to prepare for that great event. Multitudes have been living in violation of God's law, and now in mercy, he calls them to obey its sacred commands. All who will put away their sins by repentance and faith in Christ are offered pardon. But many reject his warnings and deny the authority of his law. Out of the vast population of the earth before the flood, only 8 people believed and obeyed God's word through Noah. In the same way, sinners are warned to repent before the lawgiver comes to punish the disobedient. But the majority will not pay attention to these warnings. Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning." 2 Peter 3, verse 3-4. Jesus asked the significant question, "When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Luke 18, verse 8. The Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith,
giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. In the last days, perilous times will come. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. When probation closes. As the time for their salvation was closing, the people before the flood gave themselves up to exciting amusements, filling their lives with mirth and pleasure. In our day, the world is absorbed in pleasure-seeking. A constant round of excitement prevents the people from being impressed by the truths that alone can save them from coming destruction. In Noah's day, philosophers declared that it was impossible for the world to be destroyed by water. So now scientific minds try to show that the world cannot be destroyed by fire. But when everyone considered Noah's prophecy a delusion, it was then that God's time had come. The lawgiver is greater than the laws of nature. As it was in the days of Noah, even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Luke 17, verse 26, 30. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. When religious teachers are pointing forward to ages of peace and prosperity, and the people of the world are absorbed in planting and building, feasting and merrymaking, rejecting God's warnings and mocking His messengers, then it is that sudden destruction comes upon them, and they shall not escape. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3.